From NPR and Chicago Public Radio, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm Peter Sagal. This week, we are reviewing some of our favorite visitations from notable guests who came by to play Not My Job. Filmmaker Michael Moore came through Chicago to promote his new movie, Sicko, and he took the time to stop by at our theater, along with panelists Kiri O'Connor, Luke Burbank, and Charlie Pierce. His visit to Chicago caused some consternation around the city, as you'll hear. I asked him, though, if his fame and his reputation as a rabble-rouser made it harder for him to convince people to talk to him.
Yes and no. I mean, sometimes, people like to be in the movies.
Yeah.
And against their better judgment, they talk to me. Because they weigh the two, and being in the movies sounds more exciting than, you know.
Really?
But in this case, with this film, the pharmaceutical companies and the health insurance companies wanted nothing to do with me. And because they knew I was making this film, they sent out various internal memos to their staffs about how to deal with me should I show up.
Now, let's just stop for a second. The new movie is Sicko. It's about the health industry,
Correct. Health
in America.
That is correct. And so, and some of these companies had in-service training sessions. One company hired a Michael Moore look-alike and how to deal with Michael Moore should he show up.
They had Michael Moore simulations.
It's true. Pfizer had a Michael Moore hotline, an actual number. If you worked at any of their regional offices, if I showed up, you were to call this number. And there's so many disgruntled employees at these companies. They would send me these memos, and so I actually put the Michael Moore hotline number up on my website, and told people to call it, and just whisper loudly into the phone, "He's in the building." But one of the companies hired a psychological profiler for their executive to profile me and then tell the executives, this is how, in case he ambushes you, this is how to get him off the subject. And he told them, if he corners you, get him talking about Detroit sports teams or compliment him on the recent weight he's lost.
Really?
And I read that, and I thought, damn, this guy is good. Because that would work.
This is so funny because, we prepared some questions for you. And the last question, I'll show it to you, I've got it written down here. In case the interview wasn't going well, the last question is number 10. How about those Tigers? They're going to get past Cleveland this year?
Exactly.
You've made so many movies now that really have, people watch them, and I think it feels like there's someone sort of standing up for the little guy or the little person. Do people come up to you all the time and say, "You, here's what your next movie has to be. That kid who brings my paper always throws it in the bushes." What are the worst ideas that people want you to blow the lid off of?
Oh, geez, there's so many of them. It does. It happens all the time. And in fact, there's a scene in the new movie where a father of his daughter was deaf, and his health insurance company would not pay for an implant in one of her ears, and so instead of waiting for me to do something about it, he wrote a letter to the president of the company and said, "Are you aware that Michael Moore is making a film, and have you ever been in a film before?" Thus implying that he and I were in cahoots with each other, and I was going to, go to this company. Within 2 weeks, the company calls him up and says, "Oh, we're not only going to pay for the implant, we're here for you all the way. What can we do for your daughter?" And when he did that, I thought, geez, all these people who want me to make a movie about this issue or that problem, maybe if I just gave blanket permission to everybody to use my name and just say that I'll be coming next week to, that town in Texas where they don't put up the railroad crossing, and just, they can just carte blanche use my name, and I can just stay at home and watch sports.
Michael Moore, we are so delighted to have you with us, and we're delighted that so far we're on your good side until now, because we have invited you here to play a game we're calling...
Oh, behave!
We wanted to ask you questions about something you know nothing about, and since you're pretty good at barging in on people, corporate boardrooms, pestering people to get your answers, we decided to quiz you about polite society. etiquette. Get two of these three questions right, and even your many fans will be surprised. You'll also win Carl Castle's voice in the home answering machine of one of our listeners. Carl, who is Michael Moore playing for?
Michael is playing for Carly Brisbane of Salt Lake City.
Well, we are going to start you off with no less of an etiquette expert than George Washington, father of our country. At the age of 15, he copied out in his own hand something called the Rules of Civility and Decent Behavior in Company and Conversation. Among them was which important rule? A. If challenged to a duel, stand with the left side of the body exposed to the opponent and wait for him to shoot. If he tries to, quote, mortally wound or slay you, unquote, only then may you shoot at him. Or is it B. If you are in good company and you see any, quote, thick spittle or filth, put your foot dexterously upon it. Or C, if your wig becomes askew at a social function, quote, create a pretext to lower yourself under or behind the table or board, and then address the fault.
Well, I'm going to go with B, because I think when you're 15, spittle is a very active part of your
daily something you think about. You're correct. The answer was, in fact, B, the spittle. Very good, Michael. Here's your next question. Travelers to Victorian England expressed surprise at what would happen to them when they visited English homes. What? A. All visitors, no matter what their age or sex, would be kissed full on the lips by the host or homeowner. B. All visitors, again, no matter what their age or sex, would be given a full tankard of beer upon arriving. Or C. If the skirt on any woman did not reach down to the floor, she would immediately be given a kind of personal curtain to hang around her waist.
It's definitely the skirt.
And actually, it was the kissing on the lips.
No way.
Apparently, really? There are some journals of travelers to England who were surprised by the fact that as soon as they walked in, they got a big smack right in the kisser by old Mr. Gladstone or whoever it happened to be.
Wow.
Yeah.
We had a lot of spittle, probably.
Exactly. Again, a common theme. All right, now this is very dramatic because you're one for two. You get this last one right, you will win our prize. If you don't, you won't. Last question is about modern etiquette. You've traveled the world, so you probably know which of these foreign customs is true. A, at a business meeting or social gathering in Finland, you may well be expected to sauna naked. B, at a meal in Myanmar, formerly Burma, it is a high compliment to burp after the meal, but the highest compliment you can pay the host is to vomit it back up. Or C, in modern Papua New Guinea, people visiting a VIP of any kind are expected to bring the most valuable gift in that culture, a can of hickory smoke-flavored Spam.
I'm going to go with A.
The sauna, yes, as they say in
Finland.
The sauna.
Yes.
You're right. That's
Whoa.
What they do. Wow. Anybody going to Finland, start working out now, because you could be asked to drop trow on short acquaintance. Carl, how did Michael do in our quiz?
Michael had two correct answers, Peter. So, Michael, you win for Carly Brisbane.
Oh, great. Thank you. Wow. By the way, what does Chase really stand for? It's a bank, right?
It is a bank. Chase, Chase National Bank.
Okay.
They own the building we're in.
They do.
Very fine and kind hosts and sponsors of our
bank. Truly, truly one of the greatest corporations.
Yes, really. No, as a matter of fact, and
somewhere upstairs, a vice president is reaching for the bourbon.
Exactly. It's like Michael Moore's
in
our building.